You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, how are you doing? FPL is coming closer by the day and we're excited. We're looking to get right into it. And this year, we at the FPL Wire are looking to do certain specific videos answering either specific questions or looking at specific teams or players. And they'll be shorter size videos, not our usual hour-long podcast format, which is going to continue anyway. So, you know, there's going to be lots more content coming from us. So, you know, make sure you're clicking the subscribe button, putting those notifications on. We don't have those fancy animations coming in just yet, but hopefully with time, I hope you're listening, Varun, that will come too. So what are we going to talk about today? We are going to talk about two exciting imports from the German Bundesliga. Yes, you know, you've spoken about us, especially on the FPL Wire, falling for the trap that comes from the German Bundesliga. Yes, there is the German Bundesliga tax when you're looking at certain numbers, but I thought it'd be interesting to talk about Dominic Szoboszlai, yes, I got that name right, and Christopher Nkunku. Now, when we're going to talk about Szoboszlai, I don't want to talk about just Szoboszlai. I want to talk about the impact that's going to have on the Liverpool team and the impact that's going to have on two very important assets that everybody's talking about, and that's Mo Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold. We're also going to talk about Christopher Nkunku and discuss whether he's going to be just another trap like Timo Werner. Before we get into it, here's our sponsor club. Yes, as always, Fantasy Football Scott has been supporting us for the past 4 years. Definitely, definitely worth a subscribe and taking up on the membership right now because they've got a 30% discount going at the moment. So make sure you're clicking on the link in the description below. Right, so let's dive right into it. First up, we talk about where Dominic Szoboszlai played in his career at RB Leipzig. As you can see, he's capable of playing across the front three. He's capable of playing a center mid, right mid. He can play center attacking mid, right winger, left winger to a certain extent, and he can play striker too. So he gives a lot of optionality and flexibility to Jurgen Klopp. But where did he play last season? Now, last season, he played as a right-sided attacking midfielder in Marco Rose's 4-2-2-2 setup, which is very similar to what Liverpool did when they switched their formation in game week 30. So as you can see, there's a ton of touches in the half spaces. He's also capable of drifting into the weak. If I had to, you know, define Dominic Szoboszlai, I think he's a creative attacking midfielder that's capable of drifting wide. So he's capable of taking up positions in the wide on the right-hand side. And, you know, that makes it very interesting to understand the dynamic that's going to happen on that right side triangle between Mo Salah, Trent Alexander-Arnold, and Dominic Szoboszlai. Now, we're talking about Dominic Szoboszlai. Look at this touch map that you see, which is from Opta as well as published on The Athletic, and compare it with how Jordan Henderson did when the formation switch happened. This data that you see is right when the switch formation happened. It's very similar to the spaces and the areas that are occupied by Dominik Szoboszlai when he played for Leipzig on the right side midfield role. So how are we expecting Liverpool to line up next season? Take this with a pinch of salt, but if they continue the 3-2-2-3 formation that they switched to in Game Week 30, we don't know that information yet. We'll have that information once we see a little bit of the preseason, and I don't think they might necessarily stick to one formation as well because of the number of options and optionality that they have. But if they stick to the box formation, then we're expecting Dominik Szoboszlai to play as the advanced right side midfielder. And then that triangle between Szoboszlai, Salah and Trent is just going to be really, really interesting. Also something that's going to be interesting to watch out for later is who occupies the front. Who are Mo Salah's partners going to be in the front three? Because Liverpool have options right now. It could be Diaz, it could be Gapco. There's Jota and Darwin waiting in the wings as well. We'll talk about that another time in future videos as well. Now, just let me introduce you to Dominik Szoboszlai. He is an exciting, exciting signing. He is very creative. The chance creation numbers were amazing. Across the last two seasons, Szoboszlai created 161 chances, which was the highest in that RB Leipzig team. And 99 of them were from open play. So it's worth noting that he took a lot of set pieces. He is a set piece specialist. Amazing, amazing delivery. If you check out any video packages from Szoboszlai, you'll come to know that his set pieces are outstanding. And how that impacts, if that is the case, it means that he's going to take off certain set pieces from Trent Alexander-Arnold as well as Robertson. So that's going to be interesting to watch in terms of where the set pieces go in that Liverpool team. That said, 161 chances created in the last two seasons, 99 of them came from open play, which were only beaten by one person in that Leipzig team, and that was Christopher Nkunku, who created 132 chances from open play in the last two seasons. That tells us a little bit about Christopher Nkunku as well, but we'll get to it when we talk about Nkunku. So Szoboszlai also produced the fifth highest XG assisted figure in the Bundesliga, and about six XG of that came from open play. He averages 5.5 shot creating actions per 90 minutes, which are essentially the two offensive actions directly leading to a shot, such as passes, take-ons, and drawing fouls. I think he won a fair amount of penalties as well last season, and this 5.5 number was beaten by nobody in that Liverpool team. Harvey Elliott was at 4.19, Mo Salah was at 3.83, and Trent Alexander-Arnold was at 3.82. So he's sort of like a creative hub. Like, he is going to increase the creativity in that Liverpool midfield. He's an upgrade to Henderson when it comes to offensive ability and creativity as well. He is also an immense presser in that team. So, you take Henderson away from the Liverpool team and put Szoboszlai in, you're not losing. Of course, you're losing Henderson's leadership abilities as well, but Szoboszlai is known for his off-the-ball ability as well. Now, let's talk about the impact that it's going to have on Trent Alexander-Arnold. What you see here, let me just try increasing the size of the maps here because I want you guys to look at this properly. This is Trent Alexander-Arnold. On the left-hand side, you see his position touch map between 1 to 29. And on the right-hand side, you see the touch map between game week 30 to 38. Now, there's a wide variety of difference once Trent Alexander began to invert and play at the base of that box midfield. His XA per 90 went up. His XG per 90 went up. He started taking a fair amount of shots from outside the box as well. Just became a much better FPL asset. I think he racked up 7 assists in 10 games in that period, with 9 out of the 25 big chances he created in the season coming in that period. So if Trent continues to play in this hybrid role and sort of interchanges positions between Szoboszlai and himself, this leads to one thing and one thing only, which the beautiful guys at Above Average FPL pointed out, and that is Mo Salah becoming a better asset. Now, what you see here is Mo Salah's touch map between game week 1 to 29 on the left-hand side and between game week 30 to 38. Now, the thing that stands out here is Mo Salah's job was to not occupy space on the left on the right wing. And both Trent and Szoboszlai are capable of occupying spaces on this side and putting balls inside. So if there's a left-sided attacker that becomes nailed, he's going to benefit a lot with that monstrous right-sided creative hub of Liverpool that's going to involve Salah, Szoboszlai, and Trent. But it's also going to lead to Salah having lesser responsibility. And I reckon his job is going to be more and more inclined towards and tuned towards goal scoring. You should check out the video that the guys at Above Average FPL did, where they spoke about how Salah's output and his minutes per XG were outstanding once the formation shift happened for Liverpool. So it's something that you guys should definitely check out. Let's talk about the numbers. As you can see, again, let me just increase the sizes here for you guys to see. Look at that increase in output from Mo Salah. It's outstanding. Let me just read that out for you guys. His penalty area touches went up from 7.4 per 90 to 12.7. His shots went up from 2.9 to 4.3. His shots in the box went up from 2.4 to 3.8. He just became an absolute monster of an FPL asset. So, you know, right now I'm on Twitter and seeing a lot of people building their drafts, etc. when it comes to Mo Salah. With or without Mo Salah, I think we need to think twice, because not only is Salah getting closer to the goal, the supply chain is getting augmented with Szoboszlai being such a strong creative hub. I'm expecting the three of them to interplay between them. So that's going to be interesting. And I think when we're talking about Szoboszlai, his impact on Trent, Salah, and the center attacker and the left-handed attacker is also sort of underrated. So we do need to keep that in mind. Szoboszlai himself is also an FPL option. You know, in the last 7-8 years, outside of Steven Gerrard, we never had a Liverpool midfielder become an FPL option. But I think he had 10 goals and 13 assists last season. One of the cleanest strikers of the ball in Europe as things stand. So could be an option at 7 million if he's going to start. He's certainly, if you're asking me, between McAllister and Szoboszlai, who's a more attacking-minded midfielder at the top of the box in Liverpool, I think it's Szoboszlai. So he could be an option in that 7-7.5 million price range for Liverpool. That's a wait and watch, but you need to think hard about leaving out Trent or Salah. Let me see if there's any other bits of information that I want to give you with regards to Szoboszlai. Yes, when the switch in formation happened for Liverpool, the one thing that stood out is that Henderson's top 8 games for touches in the attacking third came once the switch happened. So he's going to have a lot of the ball. And how that interplay is going to happen between Szoboszlai and Trent is going to be interesting to watch. But he's going to have a lot of the ball. Other bits of data that I found quite interesting, we'll just go to Liverpool's shape here so that you guys can understand. Double Pivot did a very interesting podcast where they spoke about how the wingbacks are dying. And the eights are everyone wants twin eights and is wanting to play with twin eights at the moment, including Liverpool when we're talking about Mac and Szoboszlai. At least that's what the recruitment indicates. But crossing from the wing backs in the top six last season, the average was 3.9 per game. The last 12 seasons before that, the lowest average was 4.8 per game. And the average was anywhere between 4.8 to 7. So crossing from wing backs is just something that doesn't happen anymore. So we have to keep that in mind when we're assessing certain teams and their positions and their roles, and which teams are actually relying on wing backs to provide attacking impetus. So I think that's an interesting piece of information. He's used to playing in this role in Marco Rose's Leipzig team, especially was the primary role that he played last season for RB Leipzig as well. I think that's it when it comes to Szoboszlai and his impact on Liverpool, his impact on Trent Moore and the left-sided strikers. If we're able to find a left-sided attacker or a central attacker that's nailed for Liverpool, it's going to be very, very interesting. Now, who do we talk about next? We're going to talk about Christopher Nkunku. And yes, because he's somebody who plays for Chelsea, highs off. Just because he's somebody who's an import from the German Bundesliga, he's really caught my fancy. I think his price is... has the potential to be an absolute joke. He's done incredibly well for RB Leipzig. He was their player of the season as well. He was injured for most parts of last season. Still was the top scorer in the Bundesliga, having 16 goals and 4 assists. We spoke about how whenever I watch Christopher Nkunku play, the thought that comes to my head is I think he's world class. I think he's capable of that tag, that mark amongst players that are in the league right now. Obviously, there's going to be an adjustment period in the league. And we're talking about a Chelsea where we're talking about essentially 11 strangers playing together for the first time managed by a stranger. So how much time will it take Pochettino to get Chelsea functioning together? How much time will it take for them to understand each other, etc., is a question. But Nkuku, if Chelsea get it going, and especially if I think that they manage to wrap up the signing of Moses Caicedo, you know, Enzo Fernandez and Caicedo is a great base for Pochettino have. Nkuku has the potential to make a joke out of his price tag. In the season before that, he had 20 goals and 30 assists. In the Champions League, he scored 7 goals in the season before that. He scored a hat-trick against Manchester City. And the kind of player that he is, he's not like Timo Werner. Timo Werner, when he played for Leipzig, he was a speedy sort of attacker that played as an inside forward on the left-hand side, where his role was to stretch defenses, play on the counter. And most of the goals that you saw coming from Timo Werner were sort of counter-attacking goals. Now, Christopher Nkuku, go watch a compilation of his goals, etc. What you will notice is the variety of his finishes. He's got great upper body strength. He's got incredible close control inside the box as well. So, and he's got a good turn of pace as well. So he's reliant on a lot of skill sets that he has to generate XG and to create goals. He's also a good header of the ball. He's very sharp-minded. You know, in the Hindi word for this is Tera. When he's playing, I think he's got a good ability to scan what's around him. He's able to make decisive, incisive passes, just like Szoboszlai, by the way. The quality of his delivery, the quality of Szoboszlai's creativity is also right up there. And that has me very, very interested in Nkuku. One thing that stood out for me is in the last two seasons combined, he overperformed his XG by 5.2. So if this trend continues, especially you put a slight weightage down for the amount of space that's afforded in the Bundesliga, and it won't be the same in a much difficult league like the Premier League, but he's generally a good finisher. He's good in tight spaces, etc. as well. So, yeah, somebody that interests me. You can see his career history out here. Let's compare his data to other Bundesliga players. He was second for shots per game. He was sixth for shots on target per game. He was first for shots from counterback. So he is an asset on the counter because of his pace, as well as in tight spaces against a low block as well. Also very, very creative. 15th for key passes per game as well. So he's the kind of forward that has the ability to generate points, just not from goals as well as from assists. Now, you might say that, you know, he might play as a second striker or the support striker for Chelsea. This isn't necessarily a bad thing because it will lead to a lot more creating bonus point creating actions. So his BPS is going to be high. So his goals could not be 4-point goals. They could actually be 5-point goals or 6-point goals because forwards get more BPS for goals as well. So, you know, he could be a potential bonus point monster, especially because of his dribbling ability as well. So that's something to point out. The other Chelsea assets that we've seen in the last 3-4 years aren't even comparable to Christopher Nkuku when it comes to expected goal contributions per 90 minutes, as well as goal contribution per 90 minutes. And, you know, keeping all of these things in mind, he's one to keep an eye out when you're scanning at players, etc., during preseason, etc. Okay, you can take your time, but Chelsea's fixtures turn really, really good, really, really quick. So, if you're starting with, say, a Gabriel Jesus, who's 8 million, who's a very safe, good asset to bet on, it's if Nkuku explodes early, there's a nice option for us to just downgrade to from Gabriel Jesus to Nkuku if he looks like the real deal, but it's somebody who should be in your thoughts. I hope you enjoyed this video. We're at 18 minutes of recording now. I'm looking at more the 10 to 20 minute mark. Do give us your feedback in the comments below if you want to see certain specific things like this coming from us. If there's anything that you want us to tap in terms of topical videos, feel free to let us know. And then we will see you now on Thursday evening. We'll be recording with Luke Dan Ashby. He's the official host of the EFL podcast, and he's going to be introducing us to the promoted teams. We've got tons of such specific videos lined up for you as well. So make sure you're hitting on like, subscribe, encourage us. And yeah, if you want to join our community, it's hustling and bustling right now. You know, you can subscribe to our Patreon or become a YouTube member, and you'll be linked to our Discord where it's going to be busy before Game Week 1. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you soon. Take care, like, subscribe, all of that, and see you next time. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Social Podcast Network.